Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Bishop Joel David Trout as he begins his message.
Saints of God, let's all receive Bishop Joel David Trout by saying, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Fee. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. Glad that my schedule allowed me to be here on this day. And as he said, I've traveled with y'all wherever you go. I'll be there. And, you know, being in the home is actually where the church began. The first century church, when the Holy Ghost fell, it fell in the upper room of a home. And that church in Jerusalem, they met in homes. And so we're just fulfilling in the last day what the first church began as. And so I'm grateful to be in this home that is set aside for the kingdom of God. I admire your leader here and his wife because of there's a term called indefatigable. They are indefatigable. That means tireless. And just to keep at it through COVID, through all of the changes going on in this crazy world, and to still be here, because in the end, the Lord is going to reward faithfulness. Not how many you had, but were you faithful? He said, faithful in a few things grants you rulership over many things. And so the fact that you're here, no matter what, well, we're just going to adjust, we're going to adapt, and we're going to set this up, and we're going to do church here. But the key is we're not going to stop. And that's the bottom line. We're not going to stop. When you go through and you have to adjust, that's not failure. Quitting is failure. And there's just no quit in this man. And I appreciate what he is doing. And I believe God's going to open a great door for you. You know, this house for years has been the baptism hole. Okay? I don't know how many people have been baptized on this corner. But if the neighborhood knew, they would protest to the government. That ain't a house. That's a commercial business over there in that corner. But hundreds of people, even before he was pastoring, he was baptizing folk in that spa. Is it still there?
It's still there.
Okay.
Always ready.
Amen. So I just love the faithfulness in this place and to see familiar faces over the years that are still here, that are holding on. I just admire you today. I've preached before 8,000 people. I drove to L.A. and preached before 2 people. It doesn't matter to me. My calling is to preach the gospel.
That's right, yeah.
And God takes care of the rest. Amen. It's so good to see Artie and his family. And he got saved in our ministry. And little Art, my God, Miracle Man. My God, so good to see them. They were saved in our ministry. I already put my pool in. All right. So it's just a special treat for me to be here today. I'm here actually ordaining a bishop on Friday night. We had the honor and privilege of ordaining a pastor to bishop. So it's been a fruitful trip. But if I'm anywhere near, I'm coming here. This is truly an amazing place. Sometimes we don't appreciate something until we don't have it. I know Tammy's like, oh, I love this. It's intimate. We're real connect. We're real family here. I understand what you mean, Tammy. And yet there's more that God wants to bring in. So the Lord is opening a door. Rehoboth, God is making room for you. And if he's making room for you, that means he's expanding, enlarging your territory. The prayer of Jabez, Lord, enlarge my territory so that I can bless others. Today I want to share with you from the Word of God. The subject is like a tree. Like a tree. It starts in the New Testament in Mark, the 8th chapter. You might remember the story of Jesus healing a man that was blind. In this case, because all the healing instructions were different. And in this case, he took him outside the city and he spit on his eyes. And he spit on his eyes and he touched him. And he said, how do you see? This is in Mark 8:24. And when the man answered, he said, I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees. Interesting that he would use that term. They're like trees. And he was born blind. Had he ever seen a tree? But he touched one. But he said, if I could see men, they look like trees. Now, apparently, imagine this. Jesus spit on his eyes, so the man had direct connection with holy DNA. It wasn't diluted. That was Jesus' spit. I'll take his spit any day. Can you imagine the power in that spit? Pure spit? To heal, I think the dosage was too much for him because he saw men in another dimension. And he said, okay, let me cut it down a bit. And then he could see. But it says something to me because in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, the first book of the Psalms, Psalm 1, I want you to take note of this, and it might make sense once you read Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, when you see that term blessed, it means happy is the man. Happy. And what he's going to give us is a prescription for success in this passage. What is the pathway to happiness? And he's going to explain it. He says, happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to know what is a key to happiness, happiness leaves clues. One of the clues is this. Don't take advice from ungodly people. There's a reason why they're in what they're in and what they're doing. They may give you advice on how to make quick money, but it might also land you in quick jail. So happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly is only looking at the temporary. He's not looking at the future. They're only going to give you advice that satisfies and gratifies immediately and not about sacrifice. So he says, you'll be happy if you don't walk in their counsel, nor stands in the way of sinners. Now, when he says stands in the way, he doesn't mean blocking them. He means standing where they stand. You know, you could avoid some things by watching what company you keep. There are some stray bullets that are only stray because you're in the wrong place. You're standing in the way. Notice he says, don't walk nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He says, you'll be happy if you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. When you're with scornful people, they are unhappy people. People that are always criticizing and murmuring in the tents. People that are always cynical. He says, you're not going to be happy sitting with the scornful. Because when they're scornful, they're going to ask you to chime in with them. Isn't that stupid, right? They're going to want your agreement. Somebody that can never be happy is always going to look, as they say, misery loves company. He said, you want to be happy? Turn the phone off. Shut it down. If it's a scornful person and they want to talk about or against someone that you are fine with, but they want you to co-sign with their attitude, he said, you'll be happier if you don't sit in that type of company. I'm telling you, happiness leaves clues. I don't know why I'm so unhappy. Are you sitting with scornful people? And you wonder why you feel so bad when you leave. Some people, when you leave their presence, you got to take a shower. It is that detrimental to you. One of the best things you can employ is the term no. Don't be afraid to use the word no. No is a complete sentence. And no gives you the gift of go. But sometimes we're afraid of offending someone. And he said, you'll be happy if you don't do these things. And then verse 3. Our whole message is going to be out of verse 3. So he said, you're blessed if you don't do these things. Now here is the additional blessing. And he shall be like a tree planted. Now our message is like a tree. Remember in the New Testament, the man said, I see men like trees. The psalmist says, if you keep yourself from these things, the result will be, you'll be like a tree planted, what? By the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So now we are compared to and made a metaphor like a tree. So let's examine how we are likened to a tree. He says, you'll be like a tree planted. A tree planted speaks to the power of your root system, the power of being rooted and grounded. He'll be like a tree planted. Have you ever thought about the church services that you attend, and all the Bible studies you attend, and all the prayer meetings that you go to? Sometimes in the moment, it doesn't seem like it's benefiting you. But what it has the effect of doing is like the root system of a tree. Trees that withstand hurricanes. The beauty in it is not seen on the outside, but what's underneath. And what's underneath reveals the strength of the tree. Its root system goes deep. And it says in Job how that the root, when it catches the scent of water, the root then stretches itself to capture that water. And the deeper it goes, the stronger the tree is. And so I want you to know that you are like a tree planted because of what you do on the outside. And that is go to church, read your word, fellowship, fast, pray, worship. All of those things help to plant you for a time when the hurricanes of life are coming. You're going to look back and wonder, how did I make it through that? You're going to find out you were rooted. You were planted. How come that accusation didn't send me away? How come that disappointment? How come when God didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it, how come I didn't leave God like others did? It's because you were planted. My God. And you didn't realize all of the years of doing the repetitious stuff that didn't seem glamorous. It was causing your root system to go deeper. And that's why you stood the storm. You look at these palm trees, and when that Cat 5 category storm comes through, my God, that tree bends, but it don't break. My God, my God. I don't care how high the category of hurricane tornado is, it goes down, but it gets back up. Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Y'all remember that punching bag we had as kids? What do they call it? That's it. You could punch that thing, it would fall all the way down to the ground and pop back up. Look at yourself right now. Why haven't you lost your mind? Considering all you've been through, you should be in the crazy house. The police should have done a 51-50. Oh, y'all know what that means. How is it? You check yourself. Well, I'm still here. Have you ever said, if such and such ever happened to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it happened. But you're still here. Because you are like a tree planted. Those endless studies of the scripture, the Bible studies, the fellowships, reading of scriptures, worshiping, giving tithes, all of those things secure you in the faith. My God. And the devil said, all right, I think I got him now. And somehow you find out what you're made of. And he said, so this person who doesn't follow the precepts of the ungodly is like a tree planted. That's about, if you're note-taking, the power of being rooted. The power of being rooted. He said, like a tree planted by rivers of water. That speaks to the power of resources. I'm not just planted, but I'm planted near water. I live in the desert. I don't care how much they build it up, how many nice buildings they build. I live almost across from the Cardinals Stadium where the Cardinals play. And it's a beautiful area, lots of shops and stores and everything. But at the end of the day, I get reminded for 4 months of the year, I'm in the desert. You can dress it up, paint it up, glam it up. But when 120 reads on the thermometer, you know you're in the desert. And it's dry. And if we don't get water, things die around. It's dusty. Dust gets in your home all the time. You try to brush your teeth in the summertime, the water comes out hot. There is no cold water. The pipes are hot. Because we're not near any water. He said, this one that succeeds is like a tree planted by, notice what it said, rivers of water. The reason why you survive is because of the power of resources. In the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden that was lush and fruitful. But why was it lush and fruitful? Because the Bible said it had four rivers that flowed in the Garden of Eden. The Hiddekel, the Pison, the Gihon, and the Euphrates rivers. Four sources, resources. We're talking about the power of resources flowed in that garden. You want to know what's going to make you successful and happy? Is you got to have resources. You got to have things and people that feed your spirit. Surround yourself by people who don't take from you, but feed you. When I get off the phone, I feel like the eye of the tiger. I can conquer anything. When I get off the phone, I feel encouraged. Why? Because I know that guy is a resource. I have friends who we might not talk for months. But when we start talking, we don't blame each other. Man, how come you ain't called me? Where you been? That we start right back where we left off. They are a resource. There's got to be things that you draw from that help you to make it. You're not a cactus. I'm sorry. Cactus stay out in the desert. It ain't rained in 30 years. They're like, I'm still here. This is not a cactus. This is a tree. You should be like a tree planted by rivers. What book speaks to you? What author? What minister? What does travel do? What do you bring in that gives you strength? Some people, they're always depressed because their resources are limited. They don't have anything that gives them life. So they're constantly depressed. You know what a swamp is? A swamp is a body of water that has no inlet or outlet. It has no resource. If it had a resource, guess what? It would filter the gunk out of it. You find a swamp, it's full of bugs, it's full of paramecium, amoebas, germs that can kill you, and it stinks. Because nothing is flowing in and nothing's flowing out. Maybe that's why you're so sick. You have no rivers. My God. You don't draw from anything. Preachers that get up, the Bible talks about like dogs that have no bark. They don't have anything to say because there's nothing coming in. God said, I'll bring the word back to your mind. But if you never put it in, he can't bring it back. You got to find someone and something. I'm a musician. Music is a source. You got to, before you leave today, if you don't write it down in your mind, what are the four things that feed my spirit? Do I have four things or people that feed my spirit, that lift me, that inspire me? Name your four. Yeah, this is an interactive message today. I'm putting you to work. What are your four? Adam had four rivers in the Garden of Eden, so that's a good place to start. Perfect paradise, but he needed four rivers. He said he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth his fruit. All right? Notice this, that bringeth forth his fruit. That's the power of purpose. Notice he says, brings forth his fruit. Notice he didn't say you bring forth fruit. He said you bring forth your fruit. In other words, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? What on earth are you doing that gives your life purpose? Why are you taking up this oxygen? Why are you filling a space? Don't you know why you're here? What your purpose is? He brings forth his fruit. What that means is there's something uniquely tied to you that only you can do. Notice he says his fruit. He didn't say that brings forth fruit. No. The happy person in this room knows why they're here. They've answered the who am I? What am I? Where am I? Question. You're 48 years old. You're still trying to figure out what are you here for? Let's settle that today. Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. But if I know what I'm here, why I'm here, there's certain places I can't go because that don't align with my fruit. I know I'm an apple and I'm not jealous of you bananas. Woo! In fact, I can rejoice over your banana. Why? Because that's your fruit. But I know what mine is. What I'm here to do. I'm not jealous of your gift and your talent because that's your fruit. Notice he says he brings forth his fruit. When God made you, when he looked at you like a tree, he said, that tree is going to bring forth kumquats. Yeah, that's a fruit, kumquat. A what? Yeah, a kumquat. And that's how strange you feel. There's no one like me. Exactly, because you're a kumquat. That's your fruit. And when you know what your fruit is, you have no problem saying, I know that's where my grace is. I know that's where my gifting is. That's not boasting. That's acknowledging that you know your purpose. Oh, my God. God is not going to reward you for being so humble that you, I don't want to say, I don't want to act like I'm proud. God's like, well, do you know what you're here for? Say what you're here for. He brings forth his fruit. Watch this. That's the power of purpose in his season. Wow. That's the power of pacing in his season. Fruit in his season. In other words, I recognize life is based on seasons and cycles. That it's not always going to be harvest season in my life. There may be times where it's seed planting and I need to understand my pace, the pace that God has given my life. And once again, not trying to keep up with the Joneses, because I understand God's pacing in my life so I can move with God's move in my life and not try to hurry up things. The power of pacing. Because if you keep pace, you'll wake up one day and look back and say, my God, I didn't realize how far I've come. And how do I make progress? By not looking at everyone else's progress. And recognizing my pace. That's the power of pacing. Understanding life is cyclical. You know, you'll have some peace in your life when you can rest and know that, okay, this is not my season right now. Because you want to know something? There is a time in your life when it's your season and you can't explain it. You can't take the credit for it. But you know God is good to you beyond your ability. And you can't explain why things are just happening so good for you. In fact, when it's not your season, don't you dare complain. Because you know there were times and seasons of blessings that was not fair to other people. But God said it's your season. And nothing can be withheld from you when it's your season. Woo! When it's Yolanda season, it's like we got to step back. It's just her season. We can't say nothing. Everything comes up roses. Even the Padres win the pennant, win the World Series. In her season. She's not a Dodger fan. It's not her season right now. Bring forth his fruit in his season. My God. So while I'm waiting for things to change, what am I doing? I'm keeping pace with what God has called me to do. Hallelujah. In his season. That's the power of pacing. Watch what it says. His leaf also shall not wither. My God, what is that? That is the power of renewal. His leaf shall not wither. How do I keep myself from withering on the vine? Constant renewal. Renewing of yourself. Because you are a finite container. You don't have endless and boundless energy. You need renewing. You need to cut away, step aside, to receive from your sources. His leaf doesn't wither. Don't wait till your leaves dry up and fall off, and then say, oh, I guess I need help. That's after you've cracked and had a mental nervous breakdown. Before that happens, I'm going to humble myself and get renewed. I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going to get away from it all. I'm going to get reconnected to God. I'm going to get reconnected to my family, to what matters the most. My God, some of us are such on a rush and a pace that we are outrunning ourselves. And we get little sleep and we get little rest and we're producing a lot, but we're going to crash because we never change our oil. Lord, help me right now. You know, there are some individuals in our world who think that a car runs on air. And they drive and drive and drive, and the signs and the lights say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. And they keep driving until one day the engine burns up. Burns out. And it says, all I needed was to renew the oil. Change the oil. In fact, every 5,000 miles, I know they used to say 3,000. Now they say you can go 5. They're just trying to get your money, really. It can last for 5,000. But all you needed to do was stop and renew. You know, that's why it's good to even renew yourself in the Holy Ghost. That's right. While I was sitting on the pew there, while we were praying, I was listening to pastor speak in tongues. I said, yes, he still got it. I'm not so old in God that I don't renew myself in the Holy Ghost. I go to the Holy Ghost Jiffy Lube and check my oil pressure. Like, all right, Holy Ghost, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to make sure it's still there. Hallelujah. And that keeps my leaf from withering. The power of renewal. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. Whatsoever he doeth. What is that? The power of activity. Doing. You see, if you want to activate in the kingdom of God, you've got to do. You're not going to activate all of God's resources until you put your faith in motion. If you don't put your faith in motion, you won't be able to say, whatever I do. And that's what God is waiting on you. Oh, God, do. Lord, make it happen. And God is saying, do something. Whatever he doeth. Lord, we've toiled all night long. Turn your net. Cast it on the other side. Do something different. You've been fishing on this side. It's like, we haven't caught anything all night. Duh. The Lord said, dummy. No, we're going to get it on this right side. All right. Whatever he do. Okay, we're going to move it to the left side. Whatever he does shall prosper. That's the power of activity. My God. God is waiting on you to move. And then God will hyper the activity. He'll put super on your natural. You step out in faith in a natural step. God said, now I'm going to add super to your natural. That's where we get the supernatural. My God, it was supernatural. Why? Because someone stepped out in the natural and activated the super. That's the power, what? Of activity, whatsoever he doeth. And what does he say? Shall prosper. The power of productivity. You see, prosperity is the recognition of what I have produced. Lord Jesus. In other words, it's manifested. That's the productivity. When you look in this kitchen of this house, go through the cupboards. It speaks of prospering. Why? Because we see produce. Produce. From the wheat to the salt, to the meat, to the fruit. It is a result of labor. He said, whatever you do will prosper. We don't know you're prospering until we see what you produced. My God. Well, we look at your children. Did you prosper? Look at what you produce. Look at the difference they're making in the world. Oh, my God. The power of producing. It gives validity to your existence. My God. You can point to, this is what I produced. My God. That's the power of productivity. My God, when I see, last night I got to babysit my grandchildren. My God, it made me proud. I produced that. Oh, yeah. My life has meaning and legacy. It didn't stop with my child, but it extended to my grandchild. It shows that I was here. Is there anything left in Chula Vista that would prove that you were here? Lord have mercy. Those that are in construction, you know what they do? They drive around town and say, you see that house? See that swimming pool? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at it. Wow. See that grass? Yeah, I planted that. Come into a room. Painters always do this. They walk in a room and look around at the paint job. They say, is there anyone out there that knows how to do it like I do? And they look, see, they find imperfections just like that. Hairdresser. They're looking at your do. I can do much better than that. But look at the one whose hair I did. She looks good, don't she? Yeah, yeah. That's the power of productivity there. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you know what he said that describes? You like a tree. Now the question is, what kind of tree are you going to be? Hallelujah. You going to be a willow? You going to be a eucalyptus? It gives her fragrance year round. You going to be an oak? Mighty strong. Apple, pear? He said he will be like a tree. And so today I want you to examine your life in alignment with what he described as a tree. He said, those that are happy and blessed are like this. Tree planted. Hallelujah. I don't know who you are today, but if the word cut you in a certain way that made you feel convicted, let's touch and agree together with you that word will begin working to the point of transformation. I don't preach for you just to hear it. and forget it. My goal is that, he says, you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that comes by the information that you feed on. And I pray that it will renew your stinking thinking and transform how you live from this day forward. Is there anyone that needs special prayer? Come on up. I'll be glad to pray with you and for you. In agreement with you that you will be like that tree. Let's stand on our feet right now. Thank you, Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.